introduced to Hans and Franz. Bob reminded me it was Hans and Franz of the of Saturday Night Live fame. I'm here to pump you up, you know, that those guys. And so that's what we're talking about, but it's really not us that does that. I'm not here to pump you up. God wants you to be able to pump yourself up because you need to bulk up spiritually. And so we've been talking about that the last couple of weeks. And probably going to go that way all the way through February, probably, it looks like. Bob's going to speak a couple times, and I'm going to do it. And we're going to come together, and we're just going to kind of talk about all the things it means to how we bulk up spiritually. So we talked about confession week one. Last week we talked about prayer. We talked about fearing God, that's important. And if we don't fear God, if we fear people or the circumstances more than anything else, that we're going to find ourselves on the wrong side of where God wants us to be. And so that was an important thing. Today, our topic is, I called it reading and feeding your soul. Reading and feeding your soul. And I believe that of all the disciplines that I'm going to talk about, this is the one that most of you are going to tune me out on. you're going to go, well, you know, I really didn't want to confess, and I'll pray, I'll try to pray, and I get that. But you tell me to read. We live in a society that doesn't read. Nobody reads except Jim Williams. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody reads. And you can't get, I mean, all the bookstores are going out of business because they can't get people to read. Nobody wants to. We want to get the Cliff Notes. We want to find out what some video says, some podcast says. And so what we do is we live in this visual age. And so when some guy stands up here and says, it's so important for you to read, you're all going, yeah, it ain't going to happen. Because I hate to what? I hate to read. And if I do read, I feel like I'm in school, and I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person that has to read. And so we struggle with this, and we struggle with the whole thought of when some guy says, I want you to spiritually think about bulking up your spiritual health, what happens is we get this resistance that says, I'm going to probably check out. So you pull out your phone, you're going to do, you have a tendency, but I want you to stick with me for a few minutes. And I want to try to, we're going to look at another book of Psalms. We've been looking, everything we've been doing has been in the Psalms and old King David. And last week, King David was on the run. Today, we're going to kind of see King David in a different light. And so I think God wants to talk to somebody here today. So let's see what he does. Let's start with this. I believe in our society today that, you know, we say that we live in this time where we're the most educated, informed people that there are, because you can take your phone out and know about anything, anywhere, anytime. And we are bit knowledge people. We know lots of bits. We know bit this, bit of that, a bit of that, but we don't know very much how it all integrates together. And that's what reading does. It integrates. It takes and smooshes together all the things that are out there. And then our mind and our body and our spirit take those things, and we take those and we begin to say, how does that all fit together? And then we come up with a life plan and a life goal. But today, culture takes and shapes the way we think and the way we think we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. And that just isn't working. It's not working for us on a very good level today. And so I do think that we are in a time where so many people debate whether the Bible is really a good thing. And I want to hope and pray that most of you in here would say that the Bible is important. And I'd say most of you would agree with that, most of you. And I would say that a lot of you would say, well, the Bible is important, but it's not important enough for me to relegate my life or to take my life and do much with it. I might do a bit of it. You know, there's all kinds of surveys, and they're dismal. They're dismal surveys about people. Even hardcore Christians, they're saying about 30% of hardcore Christians read their Bible more than 10 times a year. That's pretty dismal. That's pretty dismal. And that's a problem. It's a problem because God's people don't know what God wants for them. And so God is encouraged us to read and to feed ourselves. So we take no no pains with sitting here going, well, I'm gonna take care of all the other needs I have, but one of the base needs that every one of us has is to feed our soul, is to feed our soul so that, that it can take all this other input from this, this culture that we live in and smoosh it together and say, here's where God wants to take us. Here's where God wants to go. Questions come from us all the time, and they come because we don't know anything what's in here. And these questions come and they get unanswered. And so what we do is we look for other answers, and we look to a person, we look to a man to meet those needs. We look for a woman to meet those needs. We look to, oh, I'll have a bunch of kids and that'll meet our needs. Oh, we'll get a house and we'll do this. And all those things end up not really meeting anything. They don't really do much. When the whole time God's his plan for us was to feed our souls. And we do it by opening this thing right here, this manuscript that so many people distrust and so many people look at and say, well, you're following blindly a script of old archaic laws and commands that you should never, ever do. And so we're living in a time where when somebody like me stands up here and says, I deeply love and trust the words in this Bible, so many people would disagree with that statement because they go, I don't. I don't trust it. I don't love all the things that are in that Bible because I don't think that they're relevant to me. And I don't understand most of it. So we just put it aside. And we let it collect dust. And then the first of every year or sometime like that, we pull out our YouVersion and we look at a couple apps and we try a couple of those things. And some of us, we take devotions and we try a couple devotions. And pretty soon by January, the end of January, maybe even now already, you're going, this is a chore. It's a chore. The foundation of love and trust and the core of our foundation in doing this and in saying that the Bible, and I had to think about myself because I'm thinking, why did I do it? Because my mom and dad, my mom's back there, hi mom, my mom who's 91 years old, going to be 91 year old this week, she, her and my dad did instill in me a great faith. They did. They really did. But that's not the reason why I believe in the Bible. I had a lot of good people come alongside me, but that's not the reason I believe in the Bible. The reason I believe in the Bible is because I believe in what Jesus, in who Jesus was. When I look at Jesus, the person of Jesus, he has convinced me beyond doubt that the Bible is real, that it is relevant, and that it is a book that is to take and do things in our life that guide us, that is our star, that points us exactly where we're supposed to go. And so it's important that we read and feed. So when we come to this discipline, most of us already have kind of said, I'm kind of self-checking out. All those things that I talked about are good. It's good to do that. But if your basis for not reading the Bible is it doesn't make sense, that's not a good basis. That's not a good basis. And you have to fight against that today. And the basis is, well, I don't understand it. Then you know what? You need to understand it because the Bible also says in there, it's someday there is a time appointed where every man and every woman is going to face a creator, one who created you. And he's going to ask you a reason for what you did when you were on this rock. And he's going to ask you to give an accounting of the life that you did. And he's going to basically do, I saw this several weeks ago, and I think this kind of tells about the Christian life. Are you a drain? Were you a drain on this life? Or were you a fountain? Because a fountain gives life. And he gave you the ability to give life to people. Not your life, but his life through you. Otherwise, you're just a drain where just everything just goes down the, just goes down away. It just leaves. It just checks out the door. And so many of us are drains. We're drained on other people. We're drains on ourselves. Everything that comes into us just kind of seems to go out. God is calling us to be fountains, church. And where you get your fountain from is from right here. Where you get your vibrancy from is here. Where you get anything that you want to go to is here. It comes from the wellspring of here. This is the spring of where it comes from. And so I'm going to make a statement this morning that is a statement that's hard to hear and it's harsh, but I'm going to say it. There's no way in which someone can truly follow Jesus and not take this book seriously as God's word in their lives. There is no way. If that offends you, I'm sorry. There is no way that you cannot take this book seriously. What I mean by that is that it is an applique. It is something that you apply to your life on a daily basis. And the contents of this, I'm not saying you have to go memorize it. I'm saying take some parts out of it and say that's the part on which I'm going to stake my day today. Start some place. If it's only one phrase or one piece of scripture and say, I'm going to live this today. I'm going to love, I'm going to serve, I'm going to give, I'm going to be a fountain, not a drain. I'm going to be that fountain. In bulking up our spiritual health, we're talking about all these different, these habits, and habits are important. And I want to start with a habit that we're going to see David do today. He has a beautiful, beautiful psalm. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Psalms 19. Beautiful, beautiful psalm. We're going to go through it very quickly, and you can also follow along on here. Also, if you miss something that we're talking about today, go on to Facebook. It shows up every week. Charlie does great work and puts all that on Facebook for us every week. So please take the time to do that. Psalms 19, 1 through 6. And I can almost imagine today, remember last week where we had David, and David was sitting there and he was like, I got to act like a crazy person to get out of here. Today, he's in a whole different mood. He's in a whole different spot. Look where he is today. He's talking about the glorious things of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out in all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. And it rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. Man, he is tripping out. He's sitting there looking at God's creation going, whoa! Every word is a beautiful, beautiful picture of his time thinking about God and then putting it down in a place for us to look at. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful start. David is tripping on the earth in God's creation. There's God. Look, look, there he is. There he is. He's in the earth. He's in the earth. And then verse 7, next one, Tom. Screech, come to a halt. What in the world? The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving away joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. What the world? I see God there in the beautiful thing, and all of a sudden he starts talking about God's word. He pulls out God's word. And he starts saying, and if you look at those words that I got black in black there, those words are redundant. Any writer, any person who has any kind of thought would go, those are using the same word to say a lot of the same things. You know, it's law, statutes, same thing. Precepts, commands, fear, decrees, all the same thing. David said, I love those things. I love the word. I love it. And if you're not careful, you'll just skim right over those because you go, okay, he said the same thing, you know, five or six different times, just using different words, but the same thing, God's word, yeah. Those things that he gave us, it's for us, yes. I love how David continues, but let's look here at what he says here. I took the time to write a little bit of we'll come back to that one, Tom, in just a minute. If you'll go to the next one, please. Next one, sorry. The next one. Here we go. Let's go through what each one of these mean. If you go to the original language, which I kind of had to do because I'm going, I don't understand why he's using the same words over and over and over again and meaning the same thing. But here's what those words meant then. And so maybe it'll give you a different perspective of what he's talking about and how beautiful the scriptures are and what they mean for us that are trying to muddle our way to figure out what God wants us to do. The first one, law. If you're walking through life and you're just exhausted, the scripture will lead you into God's framework and redemptive story of creation that culminates in Jesus. In other words, if you're just doing this life, the scriptures are what leads you to a different place. Not a drink, not an extra drink, nothing wrong with that. Not another coffee, not another vacation, not another day off. No. What leads you to that is his word. His word leads you to a different place. The law leads you. That's the beauty of why you got to understand that words are important. And so you've got to look at them and say, oh, okay, that makes more sense. Now, let's go to the statue. Well, statue is not a, we're not talking about a bust of somebody, a really tall thing. No, we're not talking about that at all. It's, in the line of a law or something that's important. If the enemy has fed you so many lies that you don't even know what's true, boy, everybody been there? You don't even know what's true or untrue anymore. The scriptures will lead you into God's testimony of himself and his word and his world. So again, that word has that meaning. I know this is taken a lot and put into that word, but as I looked at the original language, that's I'm putting it in today's language so you can understand it. The statue is that's where we are. And so another beautiful, beautiful picture of what God's word is for us. And then the third word that's redundant again is precepts, another word for law. If you've lived your life in pursuit of what's just the next best thing, anybody been there? What's going to fill the hole in my heart? The scriptures will lead you into God's way of living and experiencing a truly abundant life where your heart can be full of joy. His law brings joy. Most of us don't like that because we look at his law and we go, he slapped me on the wrist. Shouldn't drink, smoke, chew, or go out with girls who do. You know, that's our thing. You know, God's just this restrictive guy. He's this restrictive God. No, that's not at all. His precepts, they lead us to joy. And that's the reason a lot of us don't have joy. Because we don't know what the precepts say. Moving on, the original language commands. If life feels so dark and meaningless and unclear, like what's my purpose even? Anybody ever been there? The scriptures will lead you into God's commands that are radiating light into the lost and broken world, providing a way to see clearly purpose and value and a way forward. Anybody want that? Anybody need that today? You want a way forward? Here's where it tells you how to move forward. Here's how I go from the day, from the mire I'm in today. Here's how I move into tomorrow. That's what the commands do for us. Again, another way of looking at it. And then fear. If you're gripped with fear, anybody here gripped with fear? The scriptures will lead you into a fear and reverence toward God that reminds you that he is the one who's in control and reigning over it all. The world doesn't rest on my shoulders, and he is carrying me every day more and more towards eternity. It is not about you, it is about him. He is the one who will take you where you want to go, where you need to go. But it starts with a fear from him for his word and who he is takes us where we need to be. And then lastly, decrees and justice. If life just seems unfair, if it's ripped away, boy, this really hits home for some of us. If it's ripped away, your goals and your dreams and your aspirations, there's coming a day where there is no more death, there's no more mourning and no suffering and no more pain and no more sin and no more evil. There is coming that. And it has to be a redundant thing in our spirit, in our soul, that says when someone or something gets ripped away from us, there's a better time coming. It's coming. And it has to be in the forefront of everything that we say and everything that we do. God's laws, his commands, his decrees, his justice all lead us, David says, to a place where we don't just look at the beautiful things around us. We look at his word, and his word guides us. It's a light into my feet. It's a path. It's a path to show me where to go. And then, Tom, if you could go back to 10:13. Sorry, we've got to go back. I didn't know else how to do this, so I knew I'd just drive Tom crazy. Let's see. Yeah, let's do 11, 12, and 13. By them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. By what? By all the laws and precepts and commands. By them, all those things, your servant, by all those things, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own arrows? No one. No one. Forgive my hidden faults. The next one. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Wow. Such good, good stuff. Forgive me, Lord, of the things I didn't even realize that hurt you. When's the last time you ever prayed that? See, the word is active and it's living and it speaks to us. But we have to listen and we have to read it, and then it feeds us. This morning I want to be clear about the words in the page of this book that I'm holding up here. Okay? The words printed on the page are not ultimately what bring transformation. I read this, therefore I'm better. Because some of you do read it. You read it on a regular basis. But it is not transforming you. What transforms you is the one who wrote all these words, the one who these words are about. He is in the transformation business. Our Heavenly Father who made us, informed us, loves us. He's the one who brings about the transformation. And then when I come to Scripture, I'm not just reading words on a page. I'm still sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary and Martha. And I'm sitting there and I'm with him. That's why there's all these songs that I'll walk with him and I'll talk with him and I'll tell him. Those are the songs that should speak to your ears, because God desires for you not just to read and feed, but he desires you to sit at his feet. And that's what this does. It sits you at his feet and he feeds your soul. He feeds your soul. David closes verse 14 that I just read. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord. You're my rock and my redeemer. A couple things stick out to me about that. We're just about done. Don't check out on me yet. One of the things that's really good is how David relates his words to his heart. How he relates his words to his heart. There's the read, there's the feed. I'm reminded of Jesus in the gospel where he says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Right? Everything begins in the heart. And so I want to say to you, and I want to remind some of you today, this is hard to say, but look at the things that come out of your girlfriend's mouth. Look at the things that come out of your boyfriend's mouth, because you can tell what they're like, what comes out of their mouth, because where is it? It's in their heart. It's in their heart. You want a way to know that you're dating a bum? It's the words that comes out of his mouth. If you're here today and you're married, listen to the words that come out of their mouth. They're telling you what's in their heart. If it's harsh and anger and horrible and bitter, then it's what's in the heart. If you're here today and the words that are coming out of your mouth shock even you sometimes, the way that you speak to your spouse or to your kids or to your friends or the things you say about other people, be very careful, because it's what's in the heart. And the only remedy for that is what's here. The only remedy here is to get this in you. And the second thing that's important to read into that scripture in verse 14, he says, I meditate. And there's a word we don't use very much today. We don't use it because it scares us. Back in my day when I was growing up, Bob and I grew up in a church who had a karate. We had a karate preacher. And I went everywhere all over the place with this guy. He was about this tall, and he could kick through a wall. He was incredibly strong. He's an incredible man. And I'll never forget first coming to see him and getting to know him because I was working for him. I was his youth pastor, and he scared me to death because, number one, I was a strong dude, and I was like, I ain't touching this guy. This guy is a million black belts and all this stuff. Him, Chuck Norris, I mean, he knew a lot of people that were in the black belt business. But one of the things that were associated with karate was always meditation and where it was not necessarily a God meditation. It was a meditation of some kind of foreign religion. So people were scared of meditation. I'm not scared of meditation at all. Meditation has nothing to do with that kind of thing. I know there's some funky meditations, but meditation is nothing more than basically a really spiritual exercise that God has set forth from us, and it's modeled time and time and time again in the Bible. And so I'm going to close with that today. We're going to close with how to meditate, and I want to teach you maybe, because I don't know that anybody's ever taught anybody how to meditate. And so I'm going to teach you how to meditate on God's word. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to us. He wants to renew you. And where he does that is in meditation, and it is not a part of our daily spiritual discipline. We pray, a lot of us, but we don't meditate. And we have to get back to how do I know what this stuff says? Because it is boring. I'll be honest with you. I open up a lot of them and go, this doesn't make sense. And then I have to go and I have to study and I have to pick it apart and I have to do some, I have to meditate on it to figure it out. And it's work. Nobody breaks it down for me in a 2-minute reel. Nobody has a reel and goes, this is what that means. See, that's the world we live in. We are reel focused, but on the wrong reels. And so God is calling us today to get our hearts right. And the way we do that is through meditation on this. So let's close doing this. Now don't come up yet, Ben. The goal, if you could go all the way to the back here. Yeah, the reading and feeding. Okay. The goal for us is not to get through the scriptures. The goal is to get the scriptures through us. Isn't that a good, that's not mine. I wish I said that, but that's not me. The goal is not for us to get through the scriptures. I love, there was an author that I really like, and I can't think of his name right now, but I'm going to say he went through this, the Psalms, and he decided that he was going to read the Bible through the Psalms. And he said he felt like every day it was a task, but he's going to do it. He's going to check it off. You don't read the Bible to check off something, to get a gold star. You don't read to say, I did this today. Oh, I did my devotion. How many of you, I did my devotion. Well, what did it do to you? Nothing. But I did it. I read the Bible. Well, what did it say? I don't know. I read it. What good does it do to do that? It's like taking a piece of food that you really love and looking at them, this tastes really good, and you throw it away. Didn't do any good. I don't want it. Well, it isn't going to do anything in your body. Looks good. I really want that. I'm hungry. Yeah. That's what we do with God's word, and we have to come to a place where we say, I'm going to get God's word in me. I'm going to get it in me. So let's get to this last part, next scripture, if you would. So here's what it is, a plan to meditate, a spiritual reading. We move through it by following these 5 simple words. You want to write anything down, you can write this down, but also you can get this on our Facebook. Silence, read, meditate, in other words, shut up, pray, and then contemplate. Now, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to this. Go to the next page if you would, please, Tom. You're doing great. Matthew 5. We're going to practice this together. This is about a 3-minute interview for you. You're going to get a class on how to meditate. Okay, here we go. Here's what I want you to do. Either in your own Bible or up here, I'm not reading this out loud. I want you to read. And I want you to go over it first of all, just read Matthew 5, and I think it goes to the next page too, Tom, right? I think, or not, is that, yeah. So you're going to have to flip back and forth for a minute. So start with the first one, read it, I'll come back to you. Excuse me. You can flip it when you think they've got it, Tom. Just take a guess. All right, I'm going to trust that you got at least halfway through it. Because of time, I don't want to go too far, but I want very much to get you a habit of a spiritual discipline here, meditation. So the first thing you do, you read that, and then you next thing you do is you sit in silence, and you don't read the book. And we're not going to do much of that. I'm just going to give you about a minute of silence, and then I want you, when you're doing it on your own, spend some time in silence and just sit there and sit with God. Pretend that Jesus is sitting down right across from you, breath to breath, eye to eye. And then I want you to release anything that's in you at that during the silence time, a fear. God, I'm here. I come to you today. I'm scared. God, I come to you today and I don't know what to do. And just release it and then be silent. The next thing you do is you read it again. Don't do that now because of time. You're going to read it over again. And this time you read, you've taken a breath, you've sat down, I'm spending time with Jesus, he's here, he's in the room, and now I'm going to read it to understand it. I read it to say I've got it in here, and it's probably gone right out. I understand that. Now I'm going to read it to let God say things to me. And then after you do that, then you meditate. And meditate means you pray and you keep those words, those verses that rose to the surface in you. Maybe there was one phrase in there that hit you, one phrase. And you bring that phrase and you just kind of sit with it. And you sit with it and go, God, this really makes sense. And so you meditate and you say, God, what do you want to say to me through that one sentence? What is it you want to say? And I think he'll give you some thoughts. I think he'll give you some answers. And then, God, then what you do is you pray. And you say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you gave me. Thank you for what you're giving me. And then you move to the last one. You keep your eyes closed and you just kind of, it's this time where you finish reading, you said amen. You've said amen, but don't rush off. because that's when we rush off. And the next thing, in all these things, if I had to say there was one that you got to do, it's contemplate. And contemplate means you sit and you wait for God to say something to you. You've prayed, you've asked him. Now, he's going to talk to you, but you don't rush off because you got the next 10 things to do. You just sit there and you wait for him to put an impression on you. And he speaks to your heart and he speaks to your life. And it's just, it's not usually volumes. And every time I've done this in my life, I've had what I call a moment of clarity. And so I want to encourage you today to meditate on the word and to try that. And don't go for maybe such long passages of scripture. And if you're wanting some places where to start, come talk to me and I'll be glad to get you some places to start. But take some scripture, do those five things. Spiritual reading. I'm reading the God, what God has put in front of me, and I'm asking him, what is it you want me to do? And I'm going to take the time to listen. I know this is boring for some of you. I know some of you are going, why is he going over this here? Because I believe this will get you in a place where you can start to open this up and say, oh, that's what it means. And God will start speaking into your life.